Oh me, oh my. Look at that fish.
Freaking vibe, dude. Welcome to the Smalley Talk Podcast. This is your freaking host, Chris Bond, dude. On the other line, co-host, blue trophy holder, lover, scholar, gentleman, Josh Thunder Rod Shrinko.
What's up? You forgot California smallmouth catcher. You forgot that, dude. Got my Californication on.
California smallmouth catcher as well. Yeah, dude. Also, since I brought up the blue trophy and they can't ever take it away. Don't ever try. Don't even freaking bring it up because it's never going away. Christine Fisher, podcast guest.
I know.
Got her down.
First killer lake. I actually didn't realize that was her first one, but yeah, congrats. Congrats to Christine, dude.
It's about time we are women's advocates on this show.
I tell you what, bud. There's a combination of things I realized after she won that tournament.
Yeah.
One, she gets more likes.
Right.
Than any of the other posts to Bass. I went through Bassmaster's whole page, like, obviously not, like, super far back, but, like, back enough to, like, they were talking to like, Easton Fothergill, like, winning the Classic and stuff. She has, like, 10 times more likes than any of the posts that they put up, which is kind of crazy. So the draw of Christine is pretty crazy. The other thing is how many salty males are on the comments. My God. Dude.
You've got perverts that are perverts and basically guys that are chauvinists. I'm sure she gets the wildest, absolute wildest followers. And then probably just a lot of normal guys too.
You know, yeah, for sure. But like the amount of people that, I mean, there's like one... One guy that just, his only comment said, "I will outfish any woman."
Oh, dude, so weird, so weird. It can't possibly happen.
Although, God.
I will say, I think maybe potentially on this podcast said that I would outplay Caitlin Clark in a one-on-one game.
I saw some people getting jabs in on that.
So. In jest, I said that, but still. Yeah, I mean, the idea that a woman
could never outplay you is hilarious.
Never.
Yeah, this is like complete denial. Complete denial.
I'll never let a woman outfish me, man. That's so funny. Yeah, it is crazy. I mean, I don't know if Bassmaster really wants to like address this, but I heard that her prize money was 27% less than what you got.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know. That's just what the rumors. That's the rumor mill, dude. That's the dark web rumor mill.
They reduced it just because she's a woman, dude. Just equal pay. We gotta advocate, dude. So I wonder, that is true.
Like fishing, I do feel like to a certain extent is pure meritocracy, and you know, I don't know.
Yeah,
pretty crazy. I think it's great. I mean, I think the fact that you even have to say I think it's great means that you probably don't think it's great. But I do feel like. This is going to sound so weird, but like my daughter's huge into fishing, right? Like she loves it. And I like showed her the post on Bassmaster. I was like, look, I meant woman. All right. I'll get a pass for that. I did say girl. I meant woman. I said, hey, look, a woman won a Bassmaster tournament, like where, and she said, well, how many women were fishing it? And I said, I don't know. You know, it's not super common. I was like, but she won. She beat all the men in fishing. And she just like smiled. She's like, that's going to be me one day. So
yeah, it's pretty cool. It didn't even register with me that much because I just know she's really good fisher person, whatever you want to call it. I mean, I just know she's really good.
what's crazy is that's just kind of not crazy, but that is just kind of how she's known. She's just known as like a good fisherman.
Very, very good fisherman. I hate to even say men because I think that's misogynist. We don't have that's her last name. The thing about it is, like, there's really no like inherent advantage men have in fishing. It's not like,
of course not. That's why the idea of like some guy being like, no woman is ever gonna outfish me is hilarious, because it's like, well, yeah. Why? It's not like it's weightlifting or like boxing or some like, you know, feat of athletics.
Basketball.
I mean, even basketball to a certain extent is like, you know, there's athleticism and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I think the idea that no woman could ever outfish
beat you in basketball, though.
What?
So no woman could ever beat you in basketball.
Dude. Me? Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. That is true. 100%.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, congrats, dude, yeah. Big shout out right at the beginning.
Crazy. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. So we have quite a few things that have transpired since our last recording. One, we're gonna get this out of the way. Speaking of congrats, dude.
No.
The Indiana freaking Pacers in the finals, first game one tomorrow night. And buddy, let me tell you,
yeah,
it's the same story. We're deja vuing it three times now. Yeah. Everybody's picking the Thunder. Everybody says they're gonna get swept. We just keep defying those odds, dude.
I don't want this to age poorly. Okay, but I'm just gonna say it. this could age poorly and potentially get me some online hatred, but I think that there's a tornado rolling into Oklahoma City right now.
It's a blue bowl tornado, baby. It
might be potentially the most devastating tornado that the state has seen in a while. So I don't know. We'll see. But I'm very amped up about it. I think that it's going to be definitely they're going to have to elevate their game. The inconsistencies that they've seen, you know, in isolated games in the playoffs, I think are going to have to be put to the back burner. I don't think that, you know, I think this team is going to be really hard to beat in 4 out of 7 games, but I think they can do it. I really do, man.
I do too. I'm along for the ride. I'm
so much fun. It's been such a magical, amazing, you know, so cool. One of those poetic, like, great stories that they're going to write a sports documentary about in 15 years and I'll cry watching, you know. Yeah. It's
sick. I've definitely gotten emotional and something, and people like, one, I don't think people understand, like, Indiana,
right,
is like, it basketball is different here, and like, I'm not really a basketball player per se, don't have a basketball body, you know, I'm not long and lean like a basketball player, but I will tell you this, dude, like, every driveway has freaking basketball goal in it, like every high school, like, basketball, you know, is like where you're at, like, you know, on the nights there's games, like, yeah. It's like Texas is the football, like, it is very much so, like, a center of our culture. Like, Chris and I played, even really before we got into fishing together, we played like pickup games together. Lots so against yeah. each other together. But yeah, but like, it's definitely a cool moment. Like, so I don't care if you're an NBA fan or not. If you live in Indiana, you better be paying attention. I talked to two people today. I was like shocked. I was like, so you, how about them Pacers? And they're like,
I know.
They're like, yeah, I don't know. I don't watch the NBA. I'm like, dude, are you serious? Like,
yeah.
Like, this isn't the NBA. This is like, you know, we only have one other professional championship in the history of our state. Like, this is it. Like, this is 25 years in the making, and it to not appreciate it, it's pretty mind blowing, especially after the games are. Three of the most improbable comebacks of all time in any postseason, regular season. It's crazy.
It's been amazing. Yeah, it's been, man, I don't want to sound, you know, it is different. I do feel that. Like, I do and Rick Carlisle even said it. He said 49 of the other states, it's just basketball. In Indiana, it's different. You know, it just is. I don't know what it is. I do feel, I like the analogy of football is to Texas, you know, and just, it's very different. I can tell you that, like, you know, I don't know. It's going to sound very, like, weird to a lot of people probably, but like when I had my son, my firstborn son, I was like, oh, that we're going to, fishing is going to be our thing. Hunting is going to be our thing together. And he did go out and shot a turkey this year, and that was fun. But like the outdoors thing really hasn't been something that we've really, that he's really picked up on yet. It's not something that we've been able to sort of bond over, but like the Pacers thing, we both are 100% in on it. You know, it's been, you know, we've watched almost every game this season. We watched almost every game last season. And, you know, last year I went
to a game with him, dude. It was for a sit.
Yeah. Josh came to a game with us. And
you know, sadly, we did also go to a Thunder game, which was not a good game together. Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, it's been like the just the last, you know, 7 months or whatever of like watching these games together with my son. It's been some of the most impactful, you know, shared experiences that I've had yet with him, you know, and watching these playoff games and watching their sort of magical run into the finals has been, dude, it's one of those rare things in parenting where you feel like I'm 100% enjoying this independently. He's 100% enjoying this independently, and we're 100% enjoying it, doing it together. So it's like one of those trifectas of like enjoyment and fun that I really feel like, you know, a lot of times, like with your kids, the activities that you're doing together, someone's making a compromise somewhere. And the payoff for all of that sacrifice is that you're spending great time together. But I do feel like this Pacers thing, you know, has given us a, you know, and the playoffs amplifies everything. You know, the season was great, but like the playoffs has amplified it, you know, for a lot of reasons. But yeah, it's just been like one of these, like, you know, great experiences of just enjoying this stuff together independently and as a joint activity. So it's been, yeah, dude, it's been really like, it's something that we'll look back on forever and just be like, man, this is, you remember that? And it'll be a shared experience that we'll both enjoy reminiscing about. And like,
and my kids are definitely not into it like Henry is, but my wife is, and she, like, dude, it's been like watching the games with her. Like like the shot that went in against the Knicks. We need to wrap this up because our listener base is literally dwindling as we speak. They're like, we don't listen to this for freaking.
Are we live? Like we're doing?
No, we're not. We're not live.
Oh,
no,
okay. No. Who cares? If you don't like it, then just fucking turn it off. Fuck off. And honestly, just I don't care. Honestly, we're just talking. Yeah. It's been I mean, Katie's been into it. Ashley's super into it as well. Like she kind of was a later joiner, though. I would say Ashley's kind of Ashley's joined probably, you know, like when after the All-Star break is when Ashley's really kind of because the games have been, I mean, dude, it's not just the playoffs. That's the thing, is like think back on that 4-point play that Tyrese had, the 3-pointer that Obi hit to win,
it's been a magical season
against Cleveland, that huge comeback.
And honestly, you know, like the start of the season was really rough. Like they were 10-15 at one point and, you know, just didn't look like themselves. And Team of Destiny, dude, I find it really hard to believe we're not going to go and win the finals, and it doesn't have anything to do with talent or style play or anything like that. It's more just like, dude, I think they just want it that bad. Like, I think they're in a position. I think the Thunder probably think it's beginning of like a long run of dynasty type of stuff. Similar to the 2011 Dallas Mavericks. Who went up against LeBron, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade, and by all accounts should have lost that series. Guess who's the coach? It's Rick Carlisle. and they went down to 0-2 and came back and won that series. So pretty cool analogy to draw there. I think that we might have the same thing, but we might lose. Recording our next episode, we'll know.
We'll be sad. I think I could see us. I could honestly see us winning in six. I could see us getting swept. I could see us winning in, you know, losing in seven. I could see us winning. However it shakes out, you know, even if we say we get swept in the finals, whatever.
That would suck. It would suck, but it is cool that we're still here.
It's been the way I'm looking at this is like it's at least four more Pacers games that we get to watch. And honestly, it's been awesome. What the culture, you see it with the Colts when the Colts were really good, like how excited the city got and how like it brought an element of like pride and like, I don't know, like togetherness and community to the city and I know it's sports, whatever. A lot of people hate sports. They probably don't have very good, you know, social skills or, you know, they probably are whatever. I don't low T. I don't know what their problem is. I'm just kidding. No, but it's kind of the beginning of that. You know, you see for the last, you know, year and a half, what the Pacers have brought to the
team. You know what I always think of when I think of this, like, and it wasn't the start of it for sure, but like, I remember being on our trip last year in Minnesota or in Wisconsin, and we were like watching those playoff games against the Knicks. And I remember being like, this is fun, dude. I haven't experienced it since the Peyton Manning, like Colts, like,
yeah.
And I miss it a lot. Like
that was so much fun watching those games,
dude. It was so much fun. It made me kind of mad that we didn't go do that during the playoffs this year. Cause that would have been, could you imagine watching like any of those comebacks? Like with all the,
oh my God, dude,
that would have been wild. See, Dave,
I watched, you weren't there. I went over and watched the game. Was it game two in Cleveland? That he had that massive, or no? Yeah, that was great. Yes, it was. It was game two, that massive shot over
the
Cleveland.
Balls. He did the testicle celebration.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah,
the step back three that he hit in Cleveland. I was over at Danny's watching that with Danny, Jack.
Oh, I bet you that was fun. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Danny's like, he about took his whole house down. I mean, he about went Kool-Aid Man through his own basement wall.
He's coming over tomorrow for the game. So hopefully.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Anybody must have got lost in the mail for that one.
Well, it's my dad's birthday. So,
oh, nice.
It's kind of a surprise thing for him.
Hey, your dad's into the Pacers too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Not as much as Danny and I, but for sure. Well,
let's talk a little bit of fishing. Josh and I obviously just haven't spoken in like, it's been
really what? Haven't. Yeah, like I've been
a
busy.
Month probably.
I know.
Last time I talked to you was actually, it was like just a really nice Saturday morning. I got up, slept in. I didn't have any, I literally had no plans this whole weekend. I was like, completely free on a weekend not too long ago. Like I'm talking no plans at all, just completely empty schedule.
Okay, we get it.
Just nothing going on. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, I get a text from Josh, says, hey, I forgot to tell you this, Burton and I, two of my best friends in the world, just great guys that I love to spend time with them, honestly. That's the enjoyment that I get, is just spending time with my buddies. I don't even have to fit. I'll hang back.
You know? That's not true.
So anyways, I get a text from Josh like, oh, I forgot to tell you, Derek Burton and I snuck off on a fishing trip together to one of your favorite spots. But, you know, I said, okay.
I was like.
Literally next text I get 10-15 minutes later, Josh is holding one of the biggest smallmouth I've ever seen in my life on a photo and just says, sorry, bud. He just texted me, sorry, bud. And I'm like, what the fuck? Out of nowhere. I'm just sitting there drinking coffee. This is going to sound ridiculous, but I had a PGA tournament on. My family is still asleep. I'm drinking coffee, just watching golf on a Saturday morning.
You spit your coffee everywhere.
I literally made my kids like little like crepes and muffin tins that I was cooking in the other room, drinking coffee. It was like 8 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, what is this? This is giant. It's a giant smallmouth. Then after that wasn't enough of a rub in. I got a phone call from Josh from the boat saying, oh my God, they're crushing. It's a visual bite. They're crushing munchies right now. I just caught a 20 incher and a 22 and a half inch smallmouth. It's crazy. And I can still see the boat ramp. I said,
yeah, it was
I'm so happy for you. So happy.
We were driving. Derek and I were driving. It wasn't quite the way Chris described it. We didn't like betray him, but I had a trip playing with Dustin.
I never said betrayed. That's close. Your subconscious.
It is. Well, I'll tell you why. I ended up going with Derek because we talked about going for a while because we were going to film a bunch of stuff for the Munchie and all that. And like we were going to go in the summertime. Well, Dustin and I had planned to go to the Muskegon that weekend and he's never been. And then he like dropped out the last second because I can't remember. Evelyn had, or Barrett had a orchestra concert they had to go to. So, So I was like stuck and I actually don't. It's the violin. He plays the violin. So, so it was some kind of weird. He got invited to this big concert or whatever. So Dustin had to go. And Derek and I had already talked about going in the summer. I was like, hey, dude, do you just want to come up here now? Thinking he probably wouldn't, you know, Derek, like, how many times has Derek gone on an impromptu trip? He's almost an automatic no. And he was like, actually think I could go. And I was like, all right. So anyways, we're driving up. We left at 3 a.m. on Saturday. And I was like, I didn't tell Chris. I was like, I have to text him. I was like, I have to text him. I was like, I don't want to text him, but I have to text him, tell him we're coming. I was like, otherwise this is going to be even worse. Mm-hmm. And he was like, laughing at me, and I was like, okay, I'm just gonna text him right now and just tell him that we decided to go. And took it with grace, but definitely let me know, gave me some shit for it.
as you would give me shit.
Oh yeah, 100%. We get to the ramp though, and like Derek is like super excited, like one, we're like zombies. Mm. Like we drove through the night, get there.
Because it's a 5.5 hour drive from here.
Surprisingly, that ramp is 4.5 from my house. So it was actually, we got there 4.5. Yeah. So we get there and Derek's like all excited and stuff. And he's like got his drone. He's got all this stuff. And I'm thinking like, dude, let's just fish for a little bit. And then like, you can get the drone out and stuff later. And he like gets the drone out and like, flies it up into the air, and I was like, well, I'm just gonna fish. And like, I'm fishing, and like, he's like messing with the drone, he like gets it down real low, and he's like, oh yeah, I can see the Munchie, that's awesome, and whatever. And then like something goes wrong with it, it's not going where he wants to go. He's like, oh, I gotta recalibrate it, and pulls that drone back into the boat and like lands it. And like no less than like a minute later, dude, I threw a cast out there and that fish, clear water, sandy bottom. Like I guarantee you the overhead shot would have been absolutely insane. Like comes up and just chokes that thing. And
I like the idea that Derek can't stick with a drone for longer than a couple minutes.
Well,
it changed drone lenses. Like,
yeah, I know. I was like, I hooked it and I didn't, you know, it's like the first fish of the day is like a hard one to like gauge because you haven't been fighting them all day. So you don't really know quite like what you have, but I saw the fish and immediately was like, oh, that's a giant. And, yeah, it pulled drag and like got it in, got it netted. And I was like, Derek goes, holy shit, dude. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty big. But I still, at the time, I was like, oh, yeah, that's over 20, you know. And then right. I, like, got it and picked it up. I was like, oh, yeah, this is a giant. So
yeah.
It was 22 on the dot, by the way. So,
oh.
22 and a half.
Okay. So, didn't mean to valor steal there.
Yeah, it didn't surpass the 22 and a quarter that you and I caught. So it wasn't my TB. But
still, that's your second biggest smallmouth ever.
Second biggest smallmouth ever. Put it on the scales. Wow. 551, I think. So it wasn't quite as heavy as the other one either, which shocked me. I thought it was going to be, because it was pre-spawn.
It looked sure, huge, dude. Man. It looked.
I know. Huge. I trust me. I went back home and immediately, like, I was like, okay, I'm going to like put something on these
scales. I mean, I don't care what the scale really said. It was just a big, big giant.
Fish. Yeah, I mean, it was fun though. And then we proceeded to fish the rest of the time and found some on beds, which is kind of disappointing, but you know, it's that time of year, so we were catching some off of beds, some on beds, you know, just depending on. We got on a really fun topwater bite on second day. Yeah. Through topwater all day. It was really, really fun. But yeah, we only fished till like 1 o'clock or so on Sunday and then just left and got back home at a reasonable time. So it was like a day and a half. But I will say, me and you did that one the very first time we went. I was telling Derek about the when you were delirious and you were talking about boy bands in your sleep. Do you remember
that? Yeah.
I probably haven't been that tired in my entire life, dude.
That was after, because we drove up, didn't sleep all night, fished all day. And then we're trying to get to like a hotel that was like an hour and a half away.
Dude, it was brutal. That was like, I was so tired. But yeah. That's a weekend thing done like that actually is fairly doable. And we camped. So it was pretty fun.
I mean, 4.5 hours, I feel like, is borderline. I mean, like if you go out west, that's like a day trip for a lot of those guys. You know, 4.5 hours, 4 hours is... You know, we're just, for some reason, like Midwest culture and probably East Coast culture too, is like, you know, an hour, you want everything to be within an hour, hour and a half of where you live. But like, yeah, if you go out to like Montana and stuff, those guys are driving like 2 hours to get to town a lot, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, 3 hours to get to a river that they like to fish, you know, not that big of a deal. But for some reason for us it is. So, but if you think about like where we're at, 5 hours from here will get you just, you know,
about anywhere.
Yeah, just about anywhere. So
dude,
amazing. What sounded like an amazing trip, probably just some really good bonding time. Good.
Very good. We were so tired after the first day, we didn't even have a campfire. I bought firewood and didn't even light it. So,
nice.
So we had. I really, you know, I had some other fun stuff since then. I'd honestly be hard for me to remember, you know, some of the stuff.
Talk California, dude. Give me the breakdown on the California smallmouth. I want to hear everything.
I mean, it wasn't much, dude. it was.
Well, you were staying in LA, right? Or Joshua Tree.
Yeah. No, that day we were in LA. We went to Joshua Tree later. I was in LA and I was like staying with my sister, because she just had her first baby and we were like, you know, doing the whole meet the baby and hang out for a week with them. And I was like, we don't have anything planned. So like, I'm going to catch a smallmouth when I'm out here and I don't care how far I have to drive, where I have to go, whose dick I have to suck. Like I'm definitely going to catch a smallmouth out here.
Yeah.
And
LA, lots of options.
Lots of dicks to suck for sure. Yeah. Well, Yeah, so I was like Googling, like trying to figure out where to go, and there's like a river in Bakersfield called the Kern River, and there was like it looked pretty good on maps. Like it looked like a river. It's in the desert, but it's like, oh, that actually looks like it could hold smallmouth. It's, you know, fairly small. I'm sure I can figure it out. And so it was an hour and a half away, and I had a rental car. So I was like, I didn't have a rod with me or anything. So I ordered a super shitty like travel rod off of Amazon, which actually turned out to be a pretty decent rod, and like a crappy spinning reel, and had it shipped to my sister's house. And
This is a full Bass Burgers flare.
Full Bass Burgers, dude. I ordered. What do you think I ordered, like fishing lure wise? Because I didn't have any lures or hooks on me.
Okay, if you had to choose one lure, I mean, you had to go on Ned Rig.
Yeah, I got Ned Rig heads, and then what kind of Ned Rig do you think I got?
I mean, a TRD finesse type situation.
What do I fish with more than anything? With the
those little tube thing, or like little.
The Crawl Z.
Oh, you want the... Yeah, okay. I could see that.
I went with the Crawl Z. I went with the Crawl, and the Ned Rig, spinning rod, some fluorocarbon, and I did a pack of flukes. I did go to a local tackle shop, and I got a pack of flukes, because I was like, I at least...
Potentially the most expensive smallmouth you'll catch all year.
Yeah, I know. So I go... Yeah, and honestly, I got out there, dude, and I was like, this looks really good. Like, it was like, okay. And dude, like, Jesus, I went up and down that river. I encountered some kind of meth head, something living on the river, and had to have an interaction with that. I fist bumped him as I'm like going by. And I'm pretty sure he tried to break into what he thought was my car after I went past him, because I came back up out of the river. It was like a bunch of little, you know, like tunnels and stuff through the weeds, paths you could go in, and like came back up, and dude's like on against one of these cars, like Jimmy and the Lock, and like I walked up, and he like immediately like sits down on this bench, like acting like he's not doing anything. And I just like walked by, and I was like, well, that's not my car. So my car's like half a mile that way, because I parked and like walked. So I think he thought I was like preoccupied fishing, and he could come up and break into my car. So did that. I ran it. I got in my car, drove to a different spot, came upon a man in his briefs, just swimming and sunbathing in the river. Like no idea what's going on.
You came upon him?
Gross. I can't. Yeah. Like, and I like walked faster, and I was like, oh, hey man, how's it going? He's like, hey. And he like gets, I came back later, and he was literally like sunbathing in his underwear, briefs, not boxers, like complete, right, like whitey tidies, just like laying on the ground sunbathing. And then I saw a bobcat, like literally, right, sat. The bobcat was 15 feet from me, dude, sitting there, did not even give a shit that I was there, just watching, stalking something. I took a video of it. And then I saw a peacock. A peacock and a bunch of baby peacocks. I have a video.
They endemic to freaking cow.
I don't know, dude. I don't know. Peacock. And then
you were a stranger in that land.
I know. And then I did catch a big, huge sucker fish. Big. I thought it was a smallmouth because it was like kind of golden. I was like, oh my gosh, I got a nice one. And then went down further. I was about ready to call it. I was about ready. I was like 5 hours in, dude. I was like, there's no smallmouth in this freaking river. Like, I don't know what's going on. And I got a little bite, felt it. I actually, true story, had my dick out taking a piss while this fish hit. I was peeing in the river while this fish is eating my Ned Rig. And I like set the hook with my dick out, peeing everywhere. Had to tuck her back in, reeled in. I was like, damn, it's a smallmouth. And I was like, I'm leaving. as soon as I took a picture of that, took a video of putting it back, I was like, see you later. So
that meth head's got some ideas about how to fish now.
Yeah, no joke, dude.
Well, yeah, that's cool. Did you leave the fishing rod with your sister? So in case.
No, it's, I got like a 4-piece rod, so I can take it.
Leave it with a baby as your gift.
Yeah. Yeah. When the baby God. 7 years from now and he can throw a fishing rod, he'll be like,
this is from Uncle Jaw Jaw. This is from Uncle Thunder Rod.
That's what my name's going to be. But, Thunder yeah. Rod. We just got back on Monday night, so we haven't been back that long. But
nice, dude. Great yeah. trip. Joshua Tree looked cool. Different.
Yeah. You went to Lake Michigan. What part did you go to?
We went to Sutton's Bay and Traverse Bay.
Traverse,
up in,
okay.
Up in northern Michigan. It's like,
so tell us about this. I know there was some like, dude, it took some patience.
Got my shit kicked in the first day and a half I was fishing out there. So
Chris felt pressure to send me pictures of like, yeah, send me pictures when you catch smallmouth. Yeah. I'm getting pictures of like pike or some shit or a muskie. Did you catch a muskie?
No, I didn't catch any muskie. I caught
lake trout.
Caught a steelhead. Yeah. I caught a few steelhead actually, but cool. Yeah, it was cool, I guess. They were, you know, there. So we got up there, and I'd been there several times before, but like always in the summertime. I'd always gone mm-hmm. like in July, late July, and got up there. Had really no idea what to expect. 43 degree water, so pretty chilly.
Yeah,
pretty chilly. Really had no idea like where fish would be, you know, where, what depth they would be at, you know, whatever. It was it's probably like a river, you know, like I think you're just looking for substrate and looking for like, you know, but if you don't have live scope or you're not familiar with the area, like searching for fish in 43 degree water is pretty much a losing gambit, I think. Mm-hmm. So the first day we fished and it was super, super windy out on the big lake, like crazy windy. So we ended up finding like a smaller lake and the water temp was like 52, 53 in that smaller lake. So I was like, okay, well, I can work with 53. So the first day we fished in that smaller lake for maybe like an hour and a half and I caught a couple nice ones. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, well, worst comes to worst, I at least know where I can go. And I ended up messaging some guys and I'm not going to give away like the intel that they gave me just because, you know, whatever, but I'll just say that I was looking for where the water would be warmer than 43 degrees and found a pretty good concentration of fish where those spots were warmer.
How warm was the water where you ended up finding them if it was 43 like 50, in the main lake?
50, 51, you know, something like that. It's so
quite a bit warmer.
Yeah. So that definitely helped. And while I was up there, like I got some like legit spots dropped to me by some people. And I just out of like respect, because I really wasn't expecting that, I was like, I'm not going to go like to those spots just because it was, I don't know, I just felt weird about like taking spots from people or whatever. So I didn't end up going. And then the guy that dropped me the spot was like, ended up catching a fish that was like over 7 pounds while I was there.
Oh my gosh.
And was like, you know, it was pretty crazy. Some people were catching some really big ones. Like I ended up fishing in this one spot that really wasn't like given to me by anybody, but I ended up fishing in this spot, and there were some people from Indiana there, from like Northern Indiana. And I got to talking to them and they're like, oh yeah, this is a really good spot where you're at. He's like, I was like, well, I really wasn't sure if it would be good or not. I just kind of, you know, was finding. He's like, oh yeah, yesterday I caught a 6.4 here. And while I was there, he caught one that was 5.12. And I caught one that was, I caught several over 4 pounds, but I didn't ever crack 5 pounds while I was up there. But I caught, yeah, ended up like, we ended up going back when I had the kids, you know, I ended up going back to that lake, that smaller lake that was with the water temps in the low 50s. And I was just looking for fish, you know, watching them cruise up in the shallows. And I was throwing little paddle tails, like those little 2.8 inch paddle tails from Sixth Sense.
You like those things, dude.
I do. Yeah, they're really, and I had Gobies on for a while, but it was something about the way they were falling. Like it just, the fish were like scattering when those things hit the water. So I don't know if it was like clarity or just the time of year or what. So I put on that like a kind of like a 3/16 ounce like jig head, and yeah, it was just kind of targeting moving fish, and we ended up having a pretty good trip, really. Like the last day we were there, we probably, you know, I had the kids out on the boat and my wife, and it was just pure shenanigans behind me. I mean, like they were rolling around, wrestling, throwing stuff in the water, just like, you know, having a good old time. But we ended up catching probably 15 fish or something.
Yeah, you know? That's fun, dude.
Caught a couple. Henry, my oldest son, caught one that was close to 20 inches. He caught one that was like 19.75, something like that. So
yeah, that's cool. So if you could do it all over again, you could like have that trip knowing what you know now, how much better do you think you could do?
I think knowing what I know now, I think it would be not a trip where you'd go catch 50 fish in a day, but you've got, knowing what I know right now, if we ever wanted to go do a pre-spawn trip, very, very good shot at a fish well above six for sure.
So what did the water, like with your boat, did you ever encounter any water that was kind of like, oof, this is rough?
No, really? Nothing like that. No.
So I mean, it was creating like a little chop. It wasn't like wavy type of stuff.
It was mostly just the fact that the surface, like the wind was so bad that like spot lock just wasn't an option. And you know, when you're fishing 42 degree water on bottom, like the wind, it's just not something I'm used to, you know? So, but I mean, I could do, if I was, and most of the time I had one of the kids with me, if I was by myself or I had like a fishing buddy with me, it'd have been a different story. It'd just be gutted out, you know, and kind of deal with it. But like I had little kids with me. So,
yeah.
But no, like the bays up there, like Traverse Bay and Sutton's Bay, where I was kind of fishing, were like, it was, yeah, no, you never get, I mean, I'm sure at some point you could probably get chopped that was bad enough where, you know, but I ran all the way across Traverse Bay, the West Bay, with the whole family in the boat and felt zero discomfort at all.
So yeah, that's cool.
Yeah,
probably less discomfort than you feel running a shallow river where you could smoke a rock.
Yeah, for sure. And I it was funny, like, because I, you know, I have a jet, so when I was running through the shallows, you know, up around, there's this place called Power Island, which is like, we went out and did like a, it's like an island in the middle of the bay, so we went out and did like a hike out there and stuff like that, and I was just running my boat like in nothing to us. I mean,
yeah, it's
like 2 foot of water.
Guys are probably like, dude, he's, yeah, be out there.
I was running 2 foot of water and you can see like literally everything because it's crystal clear, but I was running and guys were just like gawking at me as I was running through the shallows. So I was like, you know, this is nothing, dude. Even if I did hit something, you know, not a big deal. So
yeah,
it was cool, man. It was great. And then yeah, it was so there is like one decent sized river that runs into the south end of the West Bay there. It's called the Boardman River. And it's like a little, it's almost like the canal downtown. That's what it's like the size of. And it's like completely like dredged out and there's boats docked on it. And it just like runs through like the town of Traverse City. So I knew like, well, that water coming out of that thing is like 50, you know, some degrees. It's gonna be way warmer than the lake, and it's a river. So I felt like, oh, I'll just run up in that river. And so I'm like, I've got my jet boat like up in this, and there are like boats up there, so it's not like it's that small, but like I'm the only one fishing out of this river. I mean, there's like just people like out like getting coffee and jogging and like, and the river's so small that like I'm just talking with them like at a very low voice, and they're taught like having a full blown, and they're like, you know, from me to the other side of the room in my office, like,
yeah,
they're right next to me on the river walk or whatever. And they're like, what are you fishing for? I'm like, oh, just fishing for smallmouth. And they're like, I've never seen anybody fish out of this river out of a boat. And I was like,
there was, you catch anything?
Yeah, I caught two. There were some absolute tanks in this river. Like,
really?
They were just kind of like, I couldn't tell what they were doing. You know, it was like, it was weird. But I mean, there were, I don't know. I've done enough on the Great Lakes now where like, it's, you at times will just see fish that you're like, holy cow, look at the size of that thing. That's a crazy, that's like a 7-pound smallmouth you just see swimming around, you know? And
yeah, just not gonna eat anything.
Yeah, and there were tons of steelhead up in the anywhere where there was like running water, you know, any running water whatsoever, like a little tiny creek flowing in, just steelhead everywhere. So yeah, man, it was cool. It was
the water looks awesome up there. I mean, I've never really been where it looks like that. Yeah. And I want to go sometime for sure. I'm sure they're probably going to be on beds here pretty soon.
Mid-June. Yeah, mid-June is kind of the time frame when they're, I mean, 43 degree water over Memorial Day. So that was a week ago. So it's not going to come up that quick, but yeah, I mean, it was pretty good
pre-spawn right now, honestly.
Yeah. I think when I was there was like really kicking off for pre-spawn. I think that like guys were hitting fish and getting pretty amped up, and I was like just sort of running around with a chicken, like a chicken with my head cut off, looking for spots to go.
Let's go up there again, dude. Let's go. Let's go.
I am 100% in.
I'm talking about like next weekend, this weekend. Let's go, dude.
I'll do it. Again, I can't do this. I can't. Well, I could probably do this weekend. I just have to cancel on something, but I could cancel on it.
So. I actually can't do this weekend because I already know I was supposed to fish a tournament and I didn't because Evelyn's open house is Saturday. So
nice.
We're locked in for that.
Maybe Father's Day weekend.
Yeah, I would be down for that if I can convince Katie to let me go. But yeah.
Well, anyways, dude. Yeah, it's the fun, water is the big draw for me too, because it's like, I don't know, like we're running across West Bay and like there's this, I have my graphs up or whatever, you know, and we got to the spot and I was like, okay, I just stopped the boat and I was like, guys, look down in the water. And it was 25 foot deep right there. And the sun was out. It was like bright, you know, sun was out high and it wasn't windy. You could see bottom as crystal clear. Like you could see individual stones on the bottom at 25 feet depth.
That's and crazy.
It's just, you know, and I didn't see any fish out there. It was still like the kids were even blown away. Like, holy cow, look at that. Like, I go, how deep do you think it is? And you know, the kids are like, 8 feet, 9 feet. I was like, look at the chart. It's 25 foot deep. So yeah,
that's crazy, dude.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's pretty sick. So,
anyways, man, did I tell you about my, did I send you a picture of my trailer? Did I tell you about that?
No. Oh, you told me about it. You didn't send me a picture.
Dude, me and Burton got back to the, got back on Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
And like we were at the office where he met me, he's like loading his stuff in his truck. He's like, oh my gosh, dude, look at your trailer. Like went over there and like the like spindle sitting in the inside the hub, like not straight. And I was like, oh, there's grease everywhere. And I was like, oh my gosh, dude, like how long has it been like that? And I was like, well, I'm a mile from the house. I just got to like, you know, creep. So I put my flashers on. He followed me. I was like, you know, I got back to the house, but it was like just like making all kinds of noise. get back, put it in the garage. And I didn't even mess with it until the next day, but I was like, it was like 2 days later. I was like, I'm going to jack this thing up and see how bad it was. So it's like my wheels bolted onto the, you know, hub, right? That spins on the axle. I jacked it up, dude. I just grabbed my tire and just pulled the whole thing.
Oh my God. Just imagine if that would have happened on the highway.
Dude, I should have. I was going 70. I had no idea there was anything wrong with it.
That's crazy.
I mean, my office is like, what, a mile from the interstate? Like,
yeah.
Dude, it was like, yeah, it was by all accounts, I mean, it should have been.
You remember what happened to me, like coming back from Sturgeon Bay last or 2 years ago when my axle failed? It was dude, it like the logistics of like what do you do with your boat?
I know. Well, yeah, I don't. Well,
what would you have done? Yeah.
I would have probably, I don't know. That would have been
a flatbed tow company and put your boat up on the flatbed. And
on those, like what you should, I know guys will carry a spare hubs with them, like in case something like that happens, they can put a new hub on, which I'll probably do after my, I'll probably use the spare one I have. That's good on the other side as my spare hub. But I smoked the axle, the whole axles. I just got it in yesterday. I got a whole new axle from Bear Trailer. So it really wasn't that bad. $600 for a whole new axle and hub.
Dad gonna help you put it on?
Oh no, it's easy, dude. It's like it came with new leaf springs too. So you just put the U-bolts on and then it's two bolts on each side of the axle that the whole springs come off. Put the new ones on, put your wheels on, done deal. Yeah, it'll be easy, but avoided quite the disaster. Now, here's the real question. Are we telling the story on this episode?
No.
We got to tell it, dude. We told our audience we would tell it.
No, we'll put it off.
You're so anti-story. I had so many people message me and like, I cannot wait till the next episode. Is I want to hear the story so bad. And I said, well, it's Chris's fault that we didn't tell it. He has some, you know, dick up his ass about for not telling the story. We could even not name names. But like, it needs told. So if we're not telling it this episode, at least. It, since you're the one that doesn't want to tell it, it needs told because it is, it's very, very funny, very funny. Like there's moments where I'm like crying laughing when I tell this story. it needs told. So when are we going to tell it, Chris?
Let's see. What episode are we on right now?
We're 161, which we forgot to celebrate 160, dude. We didn't celebrate episode 160.
Why is 160 a big deal?
I don't know. 160. It's an even number.
My daughter? Are you looking for some way to
manipulate? Maybe 150 is what I meant to. Okay. Maybe it's 150. I was like, we didn't
say. Maybe episode 200. I don't know. I'm just kidding.
200? No. That'll be like in 2080, dude.
No, I think we need to. Yeah, we can do it. Let's do it next time. We'll do it next episode.
When are we going to record?
Well, maybe we're...
Well, the next episode we're having...
Let's try an angle for a fishing trip next weekend. Maybe we'll record it in a live together episode on a fishing trip.
So it may not be the next episode because I think in between there we're going to have Destin Demarion on for those who don't know. He's a well-known Erie guide that is going to give us some eerie pointers and probably get on the water with him. So pretty pumped about that.
No, that's an idea. So, yeah. I think, I mean, I think we should try and put together a little fishing trip. So maybe we can tell it in a live podcast together.
I mean,
they're going to be there has to be reenactments. I mean,
it's going to be, it's a great story. I feel like we're really leading you know, our
potentially oversell it. I'm thinking maybe if we overhype it enough, people like, that's all it is.
I had like PTSD from that story. So I've woken up in the middle of the night with some of the things that I experienced from that story. So yeah. It's a good one.
It's a good one. It is. That's good. So well, anyways, yeah, man, good episode. Good catching up. We obviously need to talk more because we're not, you know, we just talked about basketball for, I'm thinking in a Cheegan Pacers tribute shirt, maybe a smallmouth bass guarding a nest full of basketball.
I feel like we might have to do something that
would smallmouth bass guarding a nest full of basketballs is a great
shirt. Fishing Pacers crossover shirt would be sick. I like it, dude. I freaking like it.
Basketball, huh?
You just pull those bass puns, dude. Bass burgers, basketball.
Basketball? You like that?
I like it. That actually would be fun if you put like bass real big and then kitball on the bottom and put like a... Yeah, I think we could do it.
TM.
And Cheegan's trademark now, by the way. Got that trademark, baby.
Good for you. So, what other trademarks do you own?
That's the only one we have right now. I'm fighting for another one that is owned by someone. So nice. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, dude, got it. It's the start of summer. End of the spawn. We're done with the spawn. We're into summertime. Top water. Get your top waters out, bud. This is the top water season from like now, probably through the end of like July is like prime time top water. So
people are fishing cicadas right now. Big cicada hatch down south.
Yeah, I know we don't have that massive one here this year, but yeah, top water season, baby. I'm going to put that axle on my jet boat and we're going to go knock some out. And maybe Chris and I'll get out on a, I don't know. Would you go, if you could choose, would you go Skeegan again or would you go Great Lakes right now?
It just depends on when we go. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Skeegan is going to be like post spawn, though, is the problem. Yeah. Might be hitting some really, really prime shit on Lake Michigan right now.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know. It depends on when we went, but I'm open to whatever. So,
well, we need some bonding time, so let's make it happen.
Let's do it, buddy. All right. Thanks everybody for listening.
Free the fighter. Go Pacers.
Let's go.
No.